I am still moving, says the Lord. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, child, no, I'm still moving. I'm still moved with compassion. I'm moved with compassion for your healing. I'm moved with compassion for your deliverance. I'm moved with compassion for your total freedom. Oh, dear child, I see you. I know you. I love you. I am moved with compassion for you. I'm still moving in your midst. Oh, child, open your heart. Receive everything that I have for you. Child, know that I have not forsaken you. I have not forgotten you. I see right where you are. I see you. I see you. And I am moving on you today. I'm inviting you today, child, to receive, to partake, to experience the stirring of the water of my spirit this morning, child. Oh, be willing to come in. Come in. Open your heart. Let my voice through today. Let my voice speak to you today. I'm a good shepherd. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You can trust me. I'm here to heal you, to restore you. I'm still moving, and I'm still moving in you, child. I'm still healing you, delivering you, freeing you. You are mine, and I love you, child. Praise you, Father. Lord, we thank you this morning that we belong to you. Father, that we're in your very hand, and that no one can snatch us from your hand. It is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Oh, Lord, we just respond this morning. Go ahead and make this a response to that word this morning, if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I enter in today. I let your voice through. Your voice is pure and peaceable. It's gentle and merciful. There's no hypocrisy. There's no hate. The gentle spirit of your kindness, your voice. I'm your sheep, and I know that voice. I let that voice through today to deliver me, to heal me, to restore my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. You may.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
I love taking that time that we do, you know, when we do communion. There's such a powerful God loves you reminder in that table that will just refresh, strengthen, remember why you got into this whole thing in the first place. It was because he first loved you, and he still loves you. And that's a powerful message that we get from the table. You know, a lot of times we know our commission is to go into all the world and let the unbeliever know that God loves you. And that's, yes, that's our great commission. But communion is that great time that we come back and remember, not only did he love me as a sinner, he loves me as his child of God, and to be refreshed and strengthened in the love of God in that table and remembering what Jesus did for us. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a psalm. Psalm 19, 1 through 4. The psalmist David says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world." So he's just looking up, you know, in the sky and the stars, and just fascinated by the just the glory of God. He describes it as his craftsmanship. He sees that creative design even as he's looking up into the sky and seeing all the stars. But he's almost overwhelmed as he's seeing creation. Now, they're not speaking a sound or a word. Their voice isn't heard. I've had that too, where I'll, you know, we'll just go on a vacation or something. You know, we did a cruise for our anniversary this last January, and it's the same thing. You got this cruise and the ship and all that stuff. The most stunning thing to me is just to look at the ocean. I'm just like looking at the big blue, amazing water, and you're just, the boat is going, and it's just like, it's mesmerizing. Just the creation of God, how big and vast it is. Another psalm, kind of along this line. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic your name fills the earth. Your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Again, this another fascinating look up at God's creation and then saying, wow, we're a big deal to you. And look at the magnitude of your creation. You know, we know even more now with all of our science and technology how vast, you know, some of the things that King David was perceiving back then. You think of we currently, our Earth is part of the Milky Way galaxy, okay? You look up at the night sky and you see that kind of milky cloud that goes through the center of the sky. That's us. We're part of that Milky Way galaxy. We're in there. Our solar system, all right? Our sun is a star in the Milky Way galaxy, all right? The Milky Way galaxy has hundreds of billions of stars, our Milky Way galaxy, and about hundreds of billions of planets as well, too. The Milky Way galaxy is one of about 1 to 2 trillion galaxies, trillion galaxies in our universe that we know of. The vastness, the glory, the magnitude of creation. You can see why he's just fascinated by how big, and God, we were celebrating this morning, remembering this morning, God, the Creator, became flesh, passed through all those trillions of galaxies and hundreds of billions of stars to get to the Milky Way galaxy, then goes through hundreds of billions of stars in the Milky Way galaxy to get to one planet of our solar system, Earth, and is born as a baby in a manger. Man, what is man? Man is what God became. Isn't that stunning? Isn't it just, the word is fascinating. For you Trekkies out there, Spock would say, fascinating. And I say that because really the premise for the message this morning is a dream that I had earlier this week. You know, sometimes you get those dreams and it's like you wake up, and this is one of those deals where I was dreaming and I was in the middle of my dream, I was getting this phrase in my spirit over and over and over. And it was simply the phrase, fascinated with God, fascinated with God. That's a man who's fascinated with God. And I just got that, and because I got that phrase and I thought of these things, the vastness, the creation, the bigness, and how amazing God is. And I remember while I was sleeping and thinking to myself, ah, I really need to get my phone right now and jot this down so I don't forget this when I wake up. But it's like one of those things where I don't want to quench the spirit of this either. You know, I want to stay in the moment, you know. And I remember thinking, okay, I'm just going to get this phrase down at least. So I did get that down. And from there, as I just began to kind of just listen, it's like listening. It was like I was hearing. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me. And all of a sudden, it was like he took me by the hand and began to walk me through different points of my personal fascination with God that I've had throughout my life. Fascinated with God. There's a fascination that we have with God. That's what I want to minister along the lines of this morning. Fascinated with God. We're going to go on a fascination journey this morning. And, you know, the word fascination simply means something that captivates or holds your attention. Now, we know as believers, we're supposed to set our mind on things above, be thinking about spiritual things. We know the theological truths and the spiritual realities that undergirds those truths. But I'll tell you, there's a fascination that gets your attention and holds your attention. And spiritual things begin to happen in fascination. Fascinated with God. And I'll tell you what, it was almost like when I was, you know, when I was having this dream experience, I'll just call it that, I was just getting a download from the Holy Spirit leading and guiding me to all truth, I guess what I'm supposed to minister this morning. But as he's taking me through that and showing me this part and this thing that happened and this, it almost felt like an argument was going on in my heart. And when I woke up, I was stirred up to be fascinated with God again. Fascinated with God. Do you have cause to be fascinated with God? Yeah, you do. We all do. In fact, it's going to be a bit of a trip down memory lane for me, but also for you too. Fascinated with God. Now, this isn't like a normal message that I preach. I usually do like a three-point message and categorize. Couldn't do that with this. That's not the way I got it. I just got these as points of fascination. So just kind of like those stars, we're just going to hit points. There won't be 200 billion points of fascination. 200 billion points later. No. Just a few high points, you know. But yeah. Several stars, and but there's no order, there's no category, it's just kind of, you know, we're just going to get on this fair ride and see where it takes us, so. Fascinated with God. We're going to look at some scriptural fascination, and I believe it's going to provoke and remind you of points of fascination that you've had with God in your life as well, too. Psalm 139. 13 through 15, fascinated by God's detailed design. You've made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. This is another one of those scriptures that I just got to go, wow. You look at the complexity. There's kind of two things he's really bringing out here. First of all, just your physical, just our physical makeup. The design of a human being is stunning. I like to bring this out when we kind of touch on something like this. Here's just one example. The human brain is the center of the human nervous system and is a highly complex organ. It is over three times as large as the brain of a typical mammal with the equivalent body size. Especially expanded are the frontal lobes, which are involved in the executive function, self-control, planning, reasoning. The human brain has been estimated to contain 100 billion neurons, one brain, 100 billion neurons, the same number of stars in the galaxy, of which about are 10 billion cortical pyramidal cells. These cells pass signals to each other via approximately 100 trillion synaptic connections.
The brain monitors and regulates the body's actions and reactions. It continually receives sensory information, rapidly analyzes this data, then responds, controlling bodily functions and actions. The brainstem controls the breathing and heart rate, other autonomic processes. The neocortex is the center of high-order thinking, learning, and memory. The cerebellum is responsible for the body's balance, posture, and coordination of movement. Now, you look at something like that, we are fearful. That's just the brain. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I think if anything in this big AI revolution we're experiencing right now, it should really point us to the reality of God. Because you can see how intelligence is required. Even in trying to create a robot that can kind of emulate us, it requires incredible intelligence. It's not just hit miss. There was some creative design. And this is where there's a certain checkmate. My goodness, I was created. There was a design that went into my being. I mean, there's something wonderful about that. You cannot throw enough years at trial and error and come up with the intelligent design of the human brain. My other part of my life that I've done is programming, design, coding. You could not hit a keyboard randomly and write a computer program to do the simplest task, much less 100 trillion synaptic communications and data processing. It points to a creator. And that's what he was fascinated. Sometimes it's important to just stop and realize, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that amazing to think about that? I mean, what we're capable of doing in created in his image. Not only that, but he said, you saw before I was born, every day of my life was recorded in your book. The scripture says that we are, I love it, it says, your workmanship is marvelous and how well it is. I love that word workmanship because that's the word that Ephesians 2:10 uses. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works he ordained us to walk in. You know, it's not just that, oh, God has a plan for your life. Yeah, he really does have a plan for your life. He has good works. He's put on the inside of you a willingness and a desire to do things for his glory, for his purposes. But there's a fascination. And I look back at my life. I look back at my life with people and timings and divine appointments. And I think, what if I hadn't been at that place at that time and met that person? It is an amazing thing how God will set things up. I remember chiding my mom one time when she was doing her Christmas cards. And I said, you know, big pile of cards, and I looked through the cards, and I didn't even know most of the people. And I said, Mom, really, do you got to do all these Christmas cards? And I remember just pulling out a card saying, like, do you really need to send a card to her, you know, Jane, I forgot what her name is. Do you really need to send one to her? And she goes, oh, that was my girlfriend who talked me into going roller skating the night I met your dad. I said, yeah, send one to her. You know, it is amazing how many things that God ordains and sets up that we walk into that, you know, we do a part of loving God, preparing, feeding the Word, but there's divine paths he's preordained us to walk in. There's design in our life. I mean, not just that. It's not just like I'm a born again and I'm a child of God in the church. No, it's more than that. The church is a body. And the Bible says that he placed each member in the body according as it pleased him. You are where you are in the body of Christ by the sovereign will of God. He decided ahead of time, as his workmanship, the part that you were going to be and graced you to do that. And that's what we get to do down here, discover those good works he's ordained me to walk in, discover where he's placed me in. But how do you discover that? He's working in you to will and to do and to give a desire. The things you do, that those God-given desires, those are your signals. That's where he's put you. It is fascinating. You look at the details of life, people, relationships, situations, a timing. I mean, just being in Oklahoma and just needing a job and thinking, oh, and just going, you know, going to the Sunday school class. And, you know, just as I'm leaving the Sunday school class, somebody said, oh, yeah, just one more thing. There is a job opening at a certain computer place, and if, you know, and I'm a computer guy, and it's just like, wow, and that was it, and that was the answer to my prayer. And I was going to a Sunday school class at the end of a Sunday school class announcement. I'd been looking in the job section for hours and days. And the job came at the end announcement of a Sunday school class. I'm so glad I went to Sunday school that day. Yeah. Holy Spirit knew I needed to be there. I'll tell you, it's comforting to know that. That God is guiding us, leading us, helping us to be where we need to be, where He ordained us to walk in. It's amazing detail and design that I've looked at. And just I look back and I'm fascinated by His faithfulness to get me to where I needed to be. Other things that'll fascinate us, personal experiences. You might know the story of the woman at the well. You know, Jesus asks a woman, you know, for a drink, and He said, you know, if you'd know who was talking to you, He'd give you some living water. And Jesus said, go get your husband, talking to the woman. Jesus told her, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You've certainly spoken the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, and the one who is called Christ, when He comes, He will explain everything to us. Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. This is a personal experience with God. This is a personal experience with Jesus. We have had personal experiences with God. I love... In fact, when you listen to people's testimonies many times, they'll relate personal experiences that they've had with God. A divine encounter, moments when humans are overwhelmed by God's presence, creation, or miracles. It's not passive curiosity, but a transformative captivation that leads to worship, obedience, or a deeper pursuit. Think of the Apostle Paul. He had one of those experiences. He was Saul at the time. Experienced God in a supernatural way, overwhelmed the presence of God. A lot of times we will experience, have our own experiences in God that nobody can take away from us. They might even sound goofy to somebody else. But you know, you prayed about it. You asked God to show Himself in a way that was between you and Him, and He revealed Himself. And that sticks with you forever. Amen. There are times when you might have prayed, and all of a sudden you've experienced a supernatural provision. It's like, wow, that's the grace of God. I pushed all the buttons, I pulled all the levers, and God just showed up when I needed it. That's experiencing God. I remember Julie and I just going on a vacation years and years ago. It was a Texas Rangers game in the Dallas area. And we just, we'd saved up for our trip and all that stuff. And we were just standing in line to buy our tickets. And somebody just came out of the blue to us and said, hey, I got a couple tickets, first base. Just want to give them away. And just gave them to us. Thought, wow, thank you. Now, we'd actually saved up. We'd had money to buy tickets, not first baseline tickets. They were the cheap seats that we were, but, you know, we were going to do it. And the thing that blesses you when that stuff happens, it's like the Lord. You sense His personal, loving hand and care. It's not about even the value of the ticket. It's about the Lord saw us. He blessed us. There's a personal blessing that you experience of the Lord who provides when He adds those things to you. There's a spiritual experience. It's not just a financial experience. It's a spiritual. He's with me. You experience that. Even in a healing for your body. It's like, I'm healed and I'm whole. It's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. That pain was there. That pain is gone. You're not trying to explain healing theology for everybody. You know. It's like the blind man said, all I know is I was blind and now I see. That still happens today, doesn't it? When you're called to account for what happened. I was full of cancer, and now I'm free. All I know, he still works miracles today. He's still the God of miracles today. And you experience those things. And just, I'm just stirring some points of fascination you maybe have experienced in God, stirring up to remember some of those things. You can't. Nobody can take that away from you. I've heard amazing testimony stories of people coming to God and just kind of, Lord, show me, and just the supernatural things that he's done to make himself real to people, to meet him on a level where they're at because of a genuine heart cry to God. Draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. And it's amazing to hear that come out in some of those experiences that you hear. I've had some amazing experiences in God where I did. I mean, I was, I was raised in the Lutheran church, and so a church like this, a charismatic type church, is not something I was familiar with at all. And yet God was leading me, on to do to further in some areas of the Word and different things of the Spirit. And I remember the baptism of the Holy Spirit was something I really kind of struggled with. It was like something I remember I was going to there was a church that was saying, man, if you don't speak in tongues and you're not really a Christian because you don't really have the Holy Spirit, I knew that wasn't right. It was just like some weird, kind of an extreme thing. But I had a pastor who just explained, said, no, Ed, it's just a gift. It's just something that's available. It's like another tool in your spiritual box to be able to pray and express your heart. And it's like, oh, that's what yeah. And I just remember just being in the presence of God, just worshiping the Lord. And I'm just by myself, all right? I don't have anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody happy with me or trying to check anybody's box. I'm just trying to seek the Lord. And I'm just in my bedroom, and I'm just by my bed, and I'm just worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, my hallelujahs just, I yielded, and the Spirit began to flow in a language I didn't know. It wasn't coming from here. It was coming from my heart. And my first thought was, this is tongues? It was so simple. Because I was thinking, I got to do something. I got to produce something. No, if you pray in the Spirit, your mind is unfruitful. And it's supposed to be unfruitful. Because it's not coming from your mind. It's coming from your spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I pray by the Holy Spirit within me. I'm praying by the Holy Spirit within me. As the Spirit gives utterance. Not as my intellect gives utterance. But that's not what you're used to. So I struggled with that for a while. But I just remember in that sweet, secret place, and it was a safe place. It was like green pasture, still water, just me and God. And it was like, wow, thank you, Lord. And it was. And remember, when you're praying, what does the Bible say? When you pray, and he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. There's a building up. There's a strengthening of spirit. And I just remember experiencing the blessing and a strength of spirit and a boldness. That is something nobody can take away from me. That is a personal experience I've had with God. I'm sharing this to stir you up too. Think about some of the things you've experienced in God. Some of those things that was just you and him, where you've experienced his presence, where you've experienced his peace. So there are some personal experiences that stir us up. But there's another thing that we're also fascinated by. Not just the amazing things that happened to us, but we're also fascinated by personal testimonies. When somebody testifies, I was really saved by my fascination of a personal testimony. Let's give an example. Okay, the woman at the well, right? She hears, Jesus says, I'm the Messiah. That's a personal experience. But she doesn't just stop and keep it a personal experience. What does she do? She testifies. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he indeed is the Savior of the world. Praise God. You can hear the witness of man, but the witness of God is greater. The preacher will declare it, and there's a witness, and it's true. But when God gives you, it's like, okay, this really is true. So I'm, you know, a seventh grade kid in recreational reading class, and my recreational reading teacher does a book report on the story of Nikki Cruz, Run Baby Run. And she just kind of gets to the part with this kid, young kid, born in really the home of a satanic priest, horrible, abusive childhood. He finds himself on the street of New York City, you know, just floundering and mad and angry at the world and taken in by a gang at the time called the Mamas. And he has a choice to decide whether he wants to join the gang or not. And so they're kind of doing their initiations, you know, and he sees the kid before him, you know, go through a horrible initiation, you know, because if you don't do what they tell you to do, they call you chicken, and then they, you know, they'll cut on you and do all kinds of horrible things. So he just saw this one kid just getting toted off, bloodied, and then, you know, the leader of the gang looks over at Nikki and says, okay, who's next? And then the teacher goes, and so if you want to check out this book, you know, please. We've got several copies over here. And it's like, ah, no way. And it's like, man, we were all wanting that book so bad. And we were just, we got the book. And man, I read the story of Nikki Cruz and how he came to the Lord. And his testimony of how this little skinny preacher came into his turf one day. And Nikki said, I could cut you into 1,000 pieces. And that little preacher, David Wilkerson, said, yeah, and every piece would be saying, God loves you, and I love you. He couldn't get that out of his heart. He couldn't get that out of his heart. And ultimately, it led him and drew him to the love of God and the cross and salvation. It was a personal testimony of how he came to Christ. And it just so happened that teacher, I will see Mrs. Lewison in heaven someday, I'm sure. I've never seen her since the late 70s, yeah. And it was like, you know, it just so happened Nikki Cruz came to our town like within the next 2 months from reading that book. She knew it. She set us up. And it was a testimony. And Nikki knew this, and the relationship that he had. And I remember being in that gymnasium, and he had broken English, but the anointing was on his preaching, and you could understand what he was saying, and going forward and being intentional. And I remember praying. You know, we went with our counselors and went to the lunchroom, and I remember praying. He said, do you want to pray, or do you want me to pray? He said, I said, I want to pray. I just want to pray. And I just remember calling out to the Lord and praying and receiving forgiveness. And I remember experiencing, literally feeling lighter on my feet. That weight of shame and sin was gone. You know, Jesus only makes sense if you're a sinner. You got to come to the realization that you're a sinner. Only sinners need a Savior, right? And you realize and you're honest with your sin and receive that forgiveness and that cleansing. It's like, oh. I was like, literally felt like I was lighter on my feet. It was amazing. Why? I believed a testimony. I believed what Nikki was saying about Jesus. I had his witness, but then I had the witness of God, that even greater witness. Fascinated with the testimony. You know, you got a testimony that can fascinate people to want what you got. Be fascinated. You have a testimony. That's part of your life. That's part of your journey. The Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, when you testify what God has done, there is an authority behind that word. I mean, it wasn't just reading another book. There was power in that testimony that moved me. There was power in that Samaritan woman's testimony that moved them to Jesus, to hear him for themselves. And what did they say? Now we know he indeed is the Savior of the world. Wow. What a beautiful, fascinating power of a testimony. We're fascinated by testimonies. We're fascinated by a word from God. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." These are fascinating things. This really happened. This is what we revisit every time as part of our Christmas story every year. And it's fascinating every time we look at it again. What I love about this particular word from the Lord is, first of all, who it was given to. Unnamed shepherds. We still couldn't tell you a single name of any of the shepherds that were present that day. This was not to bring glory about a person or their spirituality. This was just a general message. But what does he say? It's a message not just for the unnamed shepherds, but for me and you. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. We weren't there when it happened, but this was for us. This message was for us to let us know that our Savior had come. Fascinated. They got a word from God. I've heard somebody say that, you know, a word from God can change everything, can change your life. One word from God can change your life. There's different ways, as I think through my life, that I've gotten those words from God. You can get the word from God from a supernatural experience like this. I've had some amazing experiences in God. One of the things, like that scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There was a time I was just reading that word and studying that word. You know, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, when you get a word, you'll get a witness. Okay, that's true. That's good. That's God. And that's good. You know that it's God. But when you stay with the word, you'll begin to see things. It'll begin to unfold. And so I had one of those experiences where I was just kind of going through, beating myself up, made a mistake, you know, feeling condemned and shamed and just thinking, oh, that's just me. And I had the Spirit of God show me something. This is like something I could see in my mind's eye, that spirit of wisdom and revelation. And it was like I saw with a flash the new creation. And the Lord spoke. He said, that's not the real you. I could see the new creation. He said, that thing came at you from the outside. This is who you are. Amen. You know, it's very comforting to know that God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Jesus said when he sent the Holy Spirit with us, that he would abide with us forever, thick and thin, highs and lows. But you know what also stays the same? The new creation. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That never changes. I remember just getting that word from God and just thinking, wow. I always come back. When I see 2 Corinthians 5:17, I've got a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I see something. I see a flash, a glimpse of what God showed me of who I am in Christ. Just a beautiful, clean, pure child of God. Now, when you get a word from God, it could be something like that. It could be something spectacular. But let me say this too. Sometimes you will have memorable words from God that'll mark your conscience when you're simply reading your Bible. Amen. This is the written word of God, and it is powerful. There's another fascinating story of an Ethiopian eunuch the Bible talks about in Acts 8. And he's just reading the word. And the Lord tells Philip, an evangelist, to go. He's in a chariot, and he's just reading the word. And he tells Philip, hey, go by that chariot. And so Philip goes by the chariot, and he hears the Ethiopian eunuch speaking out of Isaiah 53. And he's prompted to ask, do you know what you're reading there? And the eunuch says, no, I don't. I need somebody to explain it to me. And so by the Lord's direction, Philip explained it to him. And he said, the eunuch said, well, what hinders me from being baptized? He said, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may believe. He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they stopped the chariot and he was baptized. He had a word, a written word that he was on. Have you ever had that? Where you're reading a passage, it's like you can't get away from that passage. That there's something in there. It's like you're digging. It's like that treasure seeker where you're digging for something. You're digging in the word and you know God is going to show you there's something there. I've had experiences or you're reading the word and all of a sudden I've read that all my life and all of a sudden it just jumps out and I see it like I've never seen it before. A revelation of the word of God. It's like, wow, never saw that before. That's amazing. That's why we have to keep reading the Bible, because you're growing up spiritually. And the older you get spiritually, the more you get as you keep reading the Bible. But I've had supernatural experiences in the Word of God where you get things, you understand things that is supernatural. Fascinated by an unexplainable light. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, high priest, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God, where the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Although the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. Sometimes we're fascinated by something that is just like we don't understand, we don't get. Now, when it comes to this part of fascination by an unexplainable light, this can be part of our testimony too. Sometimes we're brought to the Lord because we see something in somebody else that we want. We see something they have. We see a light. What did Jesus say? He said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that people may see your good works and glorify the Father who's in heaven. We do things. We express the love of God. That food pantry is just a light. It's an expression of God's love for people to turn aside and try to have to figure something out. This doesn't make sense. Had that experience here at Door of Life. We were doing a Bridges talent show, and a little Chinese girl, one of the helpers, Bridges helper, said, this little Chinese girl wants to talk to you about God, about Jesus. And she said, because she doesn't know Jesus, you know, but she said, these people around here, these workers, I've been watching them all summer. We were at the last event of the year. She said, they have a light. They have a love. They have a joy. She said, I want that. I want that. That's Jesus? You know, it was just connecting the dots. And I was in the very back row there, and I just sat with her and pointed to the cross and just told her the gospel story. And she received Jesus. Because there was an unexplainable light from those. I had the easy job. They were shining the light of Jesus all summer long. And I was just able to come in behind and say, yeah, that's Jesus. That's the love of God. There's a joy, a peace that can pass your understanding. There's something that's in God. You can't get anywhere else. It's through Jesus. And she was just so excited, and she received Jesus. The joy of the Lord was on her. And we followed up with her for years. That's been well over 6 years, 7 years ago. She's still walking with the Lord, still loves the Lord in China. That's amazing. Yeah. You know, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Because there was an unexplainable light. She had to turn aside and get somebody to talk to her about what is this? That's in some of our testimonies. There are some people. We saw some light that made us turn aside. And for you, that's inspiring. We can be part of that testimony. We can be that unexplainable light that brings the love of Jesus. It doesn't make sense. To bless those who curse you, to do good to those who hate you. Man, that was talk about an experience with the Word. I got my blue denim Bible at the Lutheran Church 50 years ago, and the first thing I did is I looked up that scripture. You know, while I was going through the scripture, and the first thing I remember when I looked at that scripture was, wow, I don't think like to love those who hate you, do good to those, you know, who don't like you. Man, I don't think like this. This has got to be God. Sometimes you read the Word of God, and it's like, men don't think like this. Only God thinks like this. There's a deep that calls into deep that you know there's authority in these words. Man, fascinated by the word, fascinated by an unexplainable light. And this is the final one. Returning to our first fascination. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles and are not, and have found them false. You've persevered. You've endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first fascination. Remember the height of that fascination from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. I'm obviously just overlaying the first love with the first fascination, because that's kind of what it is, you know? You see somebody who maybe has just started dating or has started dating a relationship or something like that. They'll talk on the phone for hours. What do you have to talk about for hours and hours? There's a fascination. There's something that gets your attention and holds it. What is he saying? Return to your first fascination, your first attention, the things that held your attention, stirring up those things. Again, like I said, this little dream was like a, it's good to work hard, good to have that great theology, good to be able to call those things out, but it's that first fascination, that first love, getting stirred up. God's been good to you. You've got a story. You've got experiences that nobody can take away from you. Remember. Remember where you've come from. Remember what God has done in your life. Man, you have a cause. You have a cause like David to look up, be fascinated. What is man? What is, who am I? You love me. You're for me. You've been faithful to me. Praise God. Even when I've been faithless, you've remained faithful. You can't deny yourself. We've got cause to rejoice and be stirred up in our fascination with God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Oh, we just thank you so much. I just thank you for the good things, just what's represented right here, even people watching online, all the amazing things you've done for us. I mean, we could just take many hours of just testifying of the things that you've done in our lives. There may be things we still don't understand. We still have questions. There's things that we may not have full understanding about or knowledge, but there's things we do know. There's things we can look at. There's things of your character that you've been faithful. Lord, we stir ourselves up in those things. We remember your goodness. We remember that you're a faithful creator, that you're for us. Father, I just pray that you stir each one here up this morning. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, you are fascinating. Your creation is fascinating. The new creation is fascinating. You are for me. Every detail of my life, I let you in again. I believe that about you again. I'm not alone. I'm enveloped with a God who loves me. I'm in your hand, Lord. And I love you. And I trust you with my whole life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. Just a kind of an exhortation, if you will, to remember the things that God has done in your life. Remember those things you can't explain. Remember those blessings. Remember. The psalmist would do that too. They'd go back and recount the goodness of God. What about this? What about this? Yeah, but what about this and this and this? Well, what about his blessings? What about his goodness? I'll tell you what, it'll help keep your heart in the right place. Amen. Praise God.